Reading from Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 16. And then there's another short one after that. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew seven nations in Cana, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" And then one more verse from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And this is Prophet Samuel speaking to Saul. "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. So, as Jude mentioned, we're on to part... Can everyone hear that right? Yeah, so we're on to part three of our sermon series with David. And over the last 2 weeks, as Jude's probably just summarised, we've heard about David being chosen by God. And then we heard about how David trusted God's forgiveness when he repented of some pretty serious mistakes that he'd made, demonstrating a deep faith in God. So today, we're going to be looking a little bit more about relationships. Who likes relationships? Oh, not many people, dear. Should we start again? Who likes relationships? The idea was you put your hand up, yeah. Relationships are pretty important to us as human beings, aren't they? And we're thinking today about David's relationship with God and also about our relationship with God. The title for today's talk, David, a man after God's own heart, raised a huge question for me. What is in God's heart? Do we know what's in God's heart? Does the Bible tell us? And perhaps a little more personally, do we have hearts after God? So just think about that title for the series, David, a man after God's own heart. Could you take away the word David and put your name in there? Just think about that for a minute. Put your name in, a man or woman after God's own heart. Do you feel comfortable with that? Yeah. Does that feel challenging at all? Does anyone find that challenging? Who's going to be honest? Is anyone going to find that challenging? Yeah, it's pretty challenging, isn't it? If you think I'm there, I know God as well as I ever need to, come and talk to us afterwards. If you feel there's room for growth in your understanding of who God is and what's in his heart, I've got some good news for you. You should have a small booklet, a little yellow booklet, and we'll talk about that and how to use it in a few minutes. And I'll come back to that shortly. But back to Jude's favourite subject this morning, back to King David. Why did God choose David to be a king? He chose him to be a leader of his people and someone who would write 73 Psalms, apparently, half of the book of Psalms, that would become something that would be read for thousands of years and that would stand the test of time. Why would God choose someone who was the youngest of nine brothers, I think, Jude, was it? And eight brothers, right, yeah. And so he chose these, the smallest, so it wasn't for stature, was it? So why did God choose David? And The answer is probably, as Jude has already alluded to, David was a man of great faith, and God knew that. When David confronted Goliath, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." Do you think that sounds like pretty strong faith? Not very receptive to that. A fairly short chap and a 9-foot giant, according to the Bible. That shows incredible faith. A young man took his armour off, and he was confident that God would help him come through. And he did, didn't he? We know the story well. And as we heard last week, David demonstrated strong faith again. He demonstrated his trust in God to forgive him for some serious sinful behaviour, as we heard in Psalm 51. David had a heart knowledge of God, a real personal relationship with the living Lord. So as a real example of faith, David, through his written word, demonstrates that he really sees God for who God is. And it's really important that we grasp this. David's relationship was with a living, loving, active, ever-present Lord. Not some far distant theoretical entity, but a loving Father who was with him at all times. Psalm 78, verses 70-72 sums up how God decided to use David. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. So to summarise, David is a real example of a person after God's own heart. Someone who was willing to submit their lives to God's love and guidance, and to trust him with every aspect of their lives. Does that describe you? Someone who is willing to submit their lives to God's love and guidance, and to trust him with every single aspect of your life. In putting this together, I felt incredibly challenged by that. And I can tell you this, I have got loads of room for improvement. I'm not standing here telling you how it is from the right place. I've got a long way to go. So let's turn then to the question of our knowledge of God. What is in God's heart? How do you think that God sees the relationship that you have with him? Have you ever thought about it that way around? How does God feel about you? That's another big question. Sorry, I'm asking some big questions today, aren't I? We know from Jesus' teaching and from much of Paul's writing in the New Testament letters that God sees himself as our Father, and that anyone who enters into relationship with him becomes his child. Romans 8 tells us, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship." Adoption. Just think about what that means. You're not a natural child. You are chosen by God. He's handpicked us. "And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy." He wants to be known as Daddy. Not just a father with respect, a loving daddy who reaches out his arms to his children. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." That means it's all ours. We're going to inherit everything. Everything that God has and everything God stands for, we're going to inherit him. "If indeed we share in his sufferings," heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So there will be suffering as well. So if you're going through a hard time, don't think that that's putting a block between you and God. It's expected, and God is there to help his children. Isn't that amazing, incredible news? We're adopted, chosen children. There's a book I'd strongly recommend anyone to read who wants to advance in God, the Father, Heart of God. It's called that, and it's by a chap called Floyd McCluskey. At the end of chapter, I don't know if anyone's read that, it's a wonderful book and helps you understand who God is. And at the end of chapter 2, the author writes this: God is the perfect parent. He always disciplines in love. He's faithful, generous, kind, and just. And he longs to spend time with you. He longs to spend time with you. It's not us making time to be with God. He wants to spend time with us. Your Father wants you to receive his love and to know that you are special and unique in his eyes. That's how God views us. Don't you think this is wonderful? And a real encouragement for us to get to know God better. I understand that not everyone has experienced the love of an earthly father for many kinds of reasons. And that the concept of a father who unconditionally loves us might be difficult to grasp in some circumstances. But God knows when this is the case, and he'll help us to receive him. So, how can we enhance our relationship with God if we need to? I'd like to offer some practical advice, which is the yellow booklet you've got in front of you. And I'm afraid there's homework to go with this. As with any other relationship, to see our relationship grow and develop, we need to spend time with each other. Likewise, in our walk with God. Has everybody got a copy of the booklet? Anybody not got one? No? Good. So if you'd like to open the book that I've just mentioned, you'll see that there's two parts. Part one is designed, in a word, to let God into our lives. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So remember the fundamental truth is that we are not, it's not us going looking for God. God is always, and always has done since the beginning of the Bible, it's a story of God pursuing us, his people. So just have a brief look through the suggestions of the variety of different ways for us to be in communication with God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It's not prescriptive, just have a look at it and see what you think might work for you. Talk to God in prayer. It's good practice to have a daily prayer time, but remember to speak to him at other times too. He's always there by our side, ready to listen. Worship him. Sing to him. Perhaps not at Sainsbury's, but when you have a quiet time, sing to God. Think about his word when you have a few minutes. Spend some time in meditation. It's an ancient practice, and it's a really good way to get into God's presence. Use your imagination. Put yourself into the Bible story. Be there. Let Jesus speak to you. The second page is a list of God's characteristics. Just have a read through that to help you to expand your understanding of what God is all about. Some of those came from the book I've just mentioned. I've added a few myself. But I started looking through the book of Psalms, and if you read through Psalms, or just skim read through Psalms, you'll find a lot of other characteristics of who God is. It tells us all about his nature and his love for us. Have you experienced any of these characteristics in your relationship with God today yet? Do you need any of that, those characteristics displayed to help you in your daily walk with him? Thank you, Jude. Can you think of any more characteristics of God that are not listed? a challenge. So have, try to discipline yourself in these practices. Perhaps keep a diary of your progress. If you do, you can be confident that your knowledge of God will grow deeper. And then part, so that is all letting God into our lives, God talking to us. And then part two describes the way in which we can respond back to God. And there will be lots of overlaps, as there would be in any relationship. When you find more out about God, you'll want to spend more time in his presence. And his word will come more alive as we walk with him. And remember to always thank God for everything he does for us. Thankfulness really does please God and strengthens our relationship with him. And worship him. Nothing pleases him more than this. And do you know and understand God's will in your life? If you're not sure, ask him to guide you with this. The exciting news is that God has a plan for the whole universe, including you and me, and we are part of it. I've heard the future universe described as a Christian universe. Everything has been renewed by Christ, and that includes us. God's in the recycling business. Isn't that good news? So talk to Mandra or Marcus or any of the Jude, any of the leadership team, if you'd like some help or guidance or prayer in all this. And don't feel that you've got to do everything. Just do what is right for you to help you in your personal walk with God. But the one important thing is to learn to depend on God utterly and completely. We can't do it on our own. We need God's help through the Holy Spirit. God loves us, and he wants each and every one of us to succeed in our walk with him. That's his nature. And he's promised to be always with each and every one of us on that walk. So just trust God to keep his promise. Should we just pray for a moment? Father, thank you that you want us to know you as our Father. Help us to get to know you better and walk more faithfully with you day by day. Amen.